I did a really, really good Photoshop job of putting a Run Always t-shirt on Sir Paul McCartney. And I actually fooled a few people with it, thinking that I actually knew him. Unfortunately, I don't.
The Diz Runs With Podcast, episode 326, starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to the Diz Runs With Podcast, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So let's get started. Hey guys, before we dive into today's episode, just want to let you know about something kind of new that I've got available. You know, obviously, you know, if you've been around for very while, you've heard me talk about the Coterie, you've heard me talk about coaching and that part of my life and my business. And while I think that most runners can benefit from a coach, I understand that it's not always in the cards, whether it's a budget issue or whether you're just, you know, you're doing pretty well on your own and you're not, you know, looking for a coach right now. But if you ever find yourself in a situation where you've got a bit of a pressing issue, you'd like a coach's feedback on it, and it's more than just like a Twitter question or a monthly Q&A type of question where you need a little bit of time, a little bit of time on the phone with somebody, you can schedule a consultation with me that's just designed just for that, whether it's like a monthly thing to kind of keep you accountable, kind of in a, you know, marathon off season, kind of, you're not really training for a race, but you're trying to maintain your fitness, whether there's an issue you're dealing with injury wise, a kind of complicated training question you have as far as like what type of training you should be doing at the moment. If you have those type of questions, head over to dizruns.com/consultation and kind of get a feel for what's available. And if that's something that you think you might benefit from, down near the bottom of that page, there's a link you can click to set that up. So if that's something that might help you, check out again, dizruns.com/consultation. And I'll be looking forward to talking with some of you guys and helping you along with whatever kind of little issues and struggles and hurdles that you have to deal with on your way towards whatever's next in your running life/career. But until then, let's go ahead and get on with today's episode of the show. Hey guys, my guest today is someone that has been in and around the running scene for many more years than I, and I'm definitely looking forward to learning a few things over the course of the next few miles. He's pretty much done it all in the running world. He's run short, he's run long. He's coached runners of all ages, ability levels, and distances. And in this phase of his life, he's looking for ways to give back to those in his community that could use a little boost, and he's using running as his vehicle to do so. He also has a beard that puts my dinky, pathetic beard to shame, so I'll also admit to having just a little bit of beard envy. In any event, I'm excited today to be able to go a few easy miles with Mr. Mark Casas. Thanks for joining us today, Mark, and welcome to the show.
Thanks, Des. Really stoked to be here, and that intro was a little bit over the top, and I loved every minute of it.
Well, excellent, excellent. Guys, if you haven't connected with Mark on social media yet, you can see that beautiful beard as well, but also to see what he's got going on Instagram. He's at the handle is at Runner Marks, and that's MARX, so at Runner Marks, and on the Twitter at Runner Marks LA, which gives you a little bit of a clue as to where in the world he might be located. And I'll have the links to those places where you can connect with him and to anything else that we touch on today that makes sense to link to in the show notes for this episode, which you can find at dizruns.com/326. So Mark, the way we always start things off on the show is with what is a simple question. Sometimes it has a simple answer, and sometimes, especially for those that have been running for a while and have lots of choices to try to select from, it can be a little bit more confusing, or maybe not confusing, but a little more difficult, I guess. But that's just to ask, what is your favorite distance to race and why?
Well, that is, for me, a loaded question. My favorite distance to race, I probably would hurt myself if I raced it again, which is the 200 meters, and that's going way back to the early mid-90s. I started out as a sprinter and, loved every minute of it, but now in my 40s, it just isn't, possible too much.
Right.
So lately, it's been the 5K and the half marathon are the kind of my principal distances at the moment.
Gotcha. With the 5K, I can't let that pass without commenting on it. I'm on the record many times as saying that there's it's just a miserable distance because it hurts, you know, the entire time from the start to the finish. You're just going as hard as you can. What do you enjoy about the 5K?
It does hurt, and I don't think I'm a super fast runner, but you know, going back to my days as a 400 meter specialist, you know, you get used to the pain, and you kind of it's a nice challenge to try and combine that speed with the a little bit of the distance and the endurance of the burning muscles, and it's just it sucks. You're right, but I love it.
But I mean, you know, there are obviously benefits to it. I mean, it only hurts for, you know, 20 to 25 to 30 minutes, somewhere in there, whatever your pace might be. But, you know, as opposed to something that's longer where maybe it doesn't hurt the whole time, but hurts longer. So, you know, there's trade-offs along the way.
There's definitely benefits to both. Yeah, I enjoy it. I found distance running a little bit towards the end of my high school coaching career, and kind of fell in love with it and realized that we can all kind of do it, whether we're, you know, quote unquote good at it or fast or not. But yeah, it's great.
Speaking of kind of, you know, you mentioned the 200 from earlier in your running career and stuff. It sounds like that running's kind of always been part of your life. Is that true, or where did you stumble into to this sport at some point along the way?
So I've always kind of loved it. I you know, looked up to my dad. I was the last of six children, and my dad was, you know, much older. He had me a lot later in life. So, you know, my sisters and brothers were kind of also my parents, but my dad was the runner, and he ran for East LA College back in the 50s, and he'd always tell me, you know, his stories of running back when I was running, we were running, you know, 600 meters, and they don't have that race anymore, and the 880, and, you know, everything was yards.
Right.
So, you know, I just grew up listening to his stories and kind of always knew that it's what I wanted to do and be a track athlete. And, my brother didn't run competitively, but he ran, you know, a few LA marathons in the 80s. And, so I was always around it. And, one day in 1986, my brother invited me to run the, there's a city hill called, what was it? I can't remember. But a 5K, I was 11 years old, and I trained for it at the Whittier High School track, and yeah, it was great. I think I ran like 24 minutes, which I thought was okay for an 11-year-old running his first 5K.
Yeah, I think that qualifies as a pretty good debut.
And, you know, when I hit high school, I, you know, said, screw the distance, and let's see how much wheels I got. And yeah, I became, you know, a sprinting specialist, and I went 4 years there, and that was great. It was, you know, the time of my life. And let's see, college came around, and I kind of bit the big one there as far as, like, instead of becoming the college track athlete, I got into some music and got a job and kind of got away from it for actually only a year and a half, because a year and a half after that, my high school coach invited me to come be his assistant. And so from about, I think it was 96 to 06, I was his head assistant coach, and that was amazing for both track and cross country. They actually just ended their 21-year cross country league title streak, which was awesome to be a part of. I don't know how many of the listeners out there know about running in California, high school track and cross country, but there's some deep, deep teams out here, so too. Be dominant for that long was a awesome accomplishment and actually a state record. But yeah, you know, being a part of that was awesome. Won a couple state titles, but kind of had to move on. Had a family, need to get a job that actually paid the bills.
Right.
And yeah, like I said, a little after that, I got into my own running and kind of took off from there. And, you know, then social media came along.
Right, right. We'll definitely get into all that. In your time coaching at the school, what's it like to work with young athletes like that? I imagine that it kind of runs the gamut of, you know, you have some that are really driven and maybe not as talented, some that are talented and not as into it, and then some that, you know, maybe have the best of both worlds. But what's it like as a coach to you know, to just kind of to work with youth and help them to maybe hopefully fall in love with the sport that they can, you know, go on with for the rest of their lives, as opposed to some other type of high school sports where, you know, you do it while you're in high school and then that's kind of it.
Right. And you get those Al Bundys. I loved it. It was, you know, like I said, one of the best times of my life. I was very lucky to coach, you know, both sprinters during the track season and then the cross country team during the fall. And, you know, totally different animals, right?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, still kids, still growing and then learning. It was great. You know, you had the kids that, you know, didn't have the support of their parents, so they kind of leaned on you a little bit more. You had the kids that were just great individuals. You know, like you said, some kids were kind of not as into it, but had the talent. And, you know, you got all walks of life, and it was great. It was good to be able to kind of be the good cop to my coaches, you know. I wouldn't say bad cop, but stern cop. And, you know, a lot of those kids still come to me to this day and ask for advice and say, you know, I want to run a 5K. Can you train me? And, you know, or post on social media when one of my, you know, posts about, you know, how I inspired them. And that, you know, you can't beat that. It's, you know, you kind of you choke up every time you think about it, just because there was so many kids, like in 10 years, hundreds and hundreds of, not thousands of kids that went through my life and I went through theirs. And, yeah, it was just so rewarding to see, you know, the looks on their faces when they had a success, whether it was, you know, running 14 seconds for 100 meters, which is not fast if you're a boy, but, you know, the kid started at 20 and you got to 14, and it's just, it's amazing. So, yeah, you can't beat that. And I miss it a lot.
I'm sure, and I'm sure that there's probably been more than a handful of occasions where somebody that, you know, when somebody does reach out to you and you know, talks about how you impacted their life and whatnot, or you know, how much you inspired them, that, you know, at the time, maybe you didn't even realize the impact you had. Cause I know, I mean, I taught for a couple of years, but I talked to veteran teachers, and it's just like, man, you know, sometimes the kids that you don't even think you're making an impact to are the ones that come back 15, 20 years later and like, you know, just express how much of an impact you had. So I'm sure you're going to continue to see that down the road as well.
Yeah, no, it's great. I mean, I've had even shot putters come to me and say, coach, you're real inspirational for me. It's like, well, I don't really know the first thing about shot put, but I'm glad I could be there for you. It was great.
Good. At what point were you still coaching, or had you stepped down from the coaching when you started to get into more of the distance running scene?
I think I've probably 7 years into the coaching gig. Mm-hmm. I kind of said, you know, I'm going to try, you know, running a 5K, or I think that's what it was. And, yeah, I started out with running 10 minutes out on a street in Santa Monica, 10 minutes back, 20-minute run, and I was kind of hooked from there. The run was fine. It wasn't anything fast, or I didn't push it. But, yeah, I just kind of fell in love with it and kind of started out with 5Ks, and I think it's when I met my current wife. We decided to try a half, and that was fine. I was just training with her, so I didn't really know what it was like to hurt in a longer distance race yet. But she killed it. She broke two her first time going out.
Nice.
And I thought that was pretty nice. Never running before, and so yeah, I just kind of fell in love with it, like I keep saying, and kind of took it from there.
Definitely. I mean, obviously, there's the you know, clear cut differences between the shorter stuff on the track and the longer, you know, road type of distances. But for somebody who had mostly, you know, in your competitive days, in your high school days, run the short stuff, was it a bit of an acquired taste to start to get into the distance, or was it something that it almost sounded like it wasn't that big of a struggle for you to start, you know, stretching it out and going a little bit longer than maybe you'd been used to before that?
No, I think being around the cross country kids kind of gave me that sense of like, I could do this, you know, it's 5K, it's 3 miles. You know, the training runs are anywhere from, you know, 5 miles to 8 to 10 miles. And I kind of gradually stepped into it. I obviously had the knowledge of coaching, so I wasn't going to go out and try and be a weekend warrior and kill it and kill myself. So I think that was helpful to me. So yeah, I don't think it was a stretch. It was kind of a natural progression in aging and the distance. And I don't know if I would say it come naturally. Like I said, I'm not the fastest guy, but you know, as far as just, you know, mentally doing it and physically being able to do it, it was great. It was good.
Good. When you, well, how far have you stretched out? I feel like I saw somewhere you've done some marathons. Have you, is that accurate?
Yes, it's one of my favorite, and the story gets bigger and bigger each time I tell it.
Well, let's blow it out today.
I'm sure you're familiar with the documentary, The Spirit of the Marathon.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
So one day I watched that on Netflix, and you know, you watch that, and you're like, "Well, they can do it. I can do it."
And I'm going to do it right now. As soon as you get done watching, let's go right now.
Exactly. So no, it inspired me. It was a really inspirational documentary, and you know, I'd run a few halves. I was like, "Let's try it. Let's give it a try." There was no like, I'm turning this old this year, so let's do it. It was just like, why not? Everyone's doing it. Let's try it. And it was kind of exciting. But in the training, I think I gave myself 6 months, October to March. It was the LA Marathon.
Okay.
And, you know, first week I fell off a curb and twisted my ankle, and the next week I twisted my knee, and just all these weird events. I got bronchitis twice. I developed plantar fasciitis. It was just a horrible, horrible training cycle, and nothing was going right. And at the time, I was still in my stubborn distance runner phase, and you know, I didn't take the appropriate time off
right
in between injuries, and I didn't let my body recover at all. So I was probably at, you know, 50-60% when I got on the line, and you know, I still had a goal of breaking 4 hours, and that's probably stupid because I had probably put in one long distance run, and obviously it was my first marathon.
Right.
We all know the goal of that is just to finish it, which I did. But by mile 10, the plantar fasciitis was so bad that I was on one leg, and both one of my knees felt broken. It wasn't, but just the pain was just intense. And by mile 17, I went to a porta potty and you know, had to relieve myself a little bit, and blood came out instead of pee. So that was kind of interesting. And then at mile 19, I was up a hill on Santa Monica Boulevard and crashed to the ground with a severe cramp. And I thought that was it. Some you know, medic on the side of the road kind of iced me up and stretched me out, and I was on my way hobbling 12-minute miles the rest of the way, and finished basically on one leg in 4:44, and said I never want to do that again.
Yes, I remember that same feeling of never wanting to do it again. Although I didn't have quite as many issues coming into to my first, or you know, during my first marathon. What kept you going? I mean, I feel like any of those things could have been enough to make most people go, you know, I don't know. But you start adding 2, 3, 4 of those issues together, and it's like, man, the hell with this. Like, why did you keep going?
Yeah, you know, a week later, I gave myself time to, you know, I did it till 2 mile, and I'm still seeing the remnants of blood. And yeah, I kind of asked myself, what's going on here? Why am I doing this? And, you know, I kind of reassessed, and obviously, lifelong runner, been running 30 years, you know, you love it, right? That's the answer most everyone can have. You fall in love with it, and you just can't stop. And okay, maybe this distance isn't right for me, but let's stick to this and, you know, see what you can do. And, you know, there's always new challenges. You know, every 4 years you get a new age group, and it's just, we're all kind of crazy, right?
That's true. Have you gone back on your never going to do that again, or are you still one and done with the marathon?
I actually tried another one. My wife trained for it 2 years later, and I trained with her, and it didn't result in the same thing. I had a DNF. I had leg issues again with cramps, and I said, you know what, I'm good. Half the marathon's long enough. I might go back. I actually just told a good friend, runner that I'm coaching as well, that I'm kind of maybe thinking about it lately. But, you know, no real pressure, no real strong feelings about it either way. I love watching it. I love cheering them on. I love training people for them. But, I think it actually gave me probably a good sense of what too much is for certain individuals. I think people kind of run themselves through the wall, and you know, whether it's a 5K or an ultra, like, you know, there are people that will just take it to the limit, and that's not always good,
right?
Especially when we're younger and we're all indestructible. But as you age, it's, I think a lot of people, especially this social media boom, I actually posted something on Facebook the other day that I said, I'd be very interested to see a study on the amount of injuries that have increased since this running boom started on social media. Because, man, everyone just wants to compete with everyone, and it's crazy. It scares me for them. But, you know, knowing your limits is always a good thing.
Yeah, I would love to get into that a little bit. My background is in athletic training. I've been a certified athletic trainer for, I started in college in 2000. So since 2004, whatever, 12 years now, I guess. And so I could nerd out on running injuries left and right. And, all kind of athletic injuries, but certainly now at this point in my life, running injuries get me going. But, I've had this conversation with other running coaches before, and I always love getting the different perspectives. And it sounds like we're kind of on the same wavelength. But like you said, with social media, with things like Strava in particular, is something I love, but it's a double-edged sword. Do you, at this point, like you said, it'd be nice to see a study, and who knows, maybe somewhere down the line. But how much trouble do you think that we as runners maybe get into from doing the comparisons and going like, you know, seeing somebody's, maybe it's a hard workout and we're supposed to run easy that day, but by God, we got to keep up with so-and-so because, they ran 8-minute pace today. So we got to run 7:45, even though it's an easy day and we should be running 9:30. Like how much of a problem do you think that really is?
I think it's a huge, ginormous problem. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I never want to sound like a know-it-all, but the facts are I've been running for 30 years. I've been coaching for almost, 20 years now. I don't know if the math makes sense, but it's early.
Yeah.
But it got to the point where I was like, I just need to, I need to say something to the people that will listen. You know, there's people that aren't going to listen. There's people that are going to reject that and, kind of think you're a dick. But I think it's a problem. I think Instagram and social media and, apps like Strava are great. They're ingenious. They're so useful. They get people up and out and active, but it's not real runner's education, right? Mm-hmm. If you're reading Joe XX Squared's post about his, like you said, his workout, and he's talking a little about, I did a fartlek or I did a ladder, or I did some intervals, like that's great. But if you've only been running for a year or two, you're still a rookie. And, even I don't care if you're a rookie that can run a sub 3:30 marathon, you're still a rookie, and you kind of need to align yourself with what is appropriate for you and your pacing and your training and your fitness level and your body composition. And no one does that. I don't want to say no one, but a lot of people don't do that. They use the social media posts as their running education. And I think that's a bad move, and it's harmful. And I've seen it. I've seen not necessarily injuries, but I've seen, I can bust, 7 flat pace for 10 miles and then go out the next day and run 14 miles at 7:15 mm-hmm. pace. And but I don't get why I didn't have a great marathon this weekend.
Right.
It's like, well, because you race every day on the road. So things like that, and it's just it's frustrating, mm-hmm. but you learn to roll with it, and like you said, you reach out to the people that you think you can help, and some are very gracious and accept it and do their best to kind of adjust, and some don't, and that's when you gotta kind of zip it up and call a spade and leave those people alone. You can't save everybody or coach everybody, and not everyone's gonna, like you said, align with your thinking. Mm-hmm. And, unfortunately, they'll learn the hard way.
What, as a coach and kind of with your coaching head on and along the same lines of what we've just been talking about, what is the value that you place on the easy runs? Because I've heard some people, and I'm probably, if I'm completely honest, maybe used to be in the boat where it's like, not that you need to be running every race or every run hard, but like if you're running too easy, it just kind of turns into a junk mile, and I've changed course on that now, and I certainly value and encourage my runners as well to, there's easy days you run easy and hard days you run hard, and you need to appreciate what the goal is for each type of training and the cycle that you're on. Are we still kind of in congruence with that, or what's your take on the easy runs?
Yeah, absolutely. Kind of a funny story. When you reached out to me, I went on the blog, and like I said, I had heard a couple of podcasts before, but I hadn't really read your blog and some of your coaching posts. And the first one that caught my eye was, I think the title was something along the lines of, "In order to run fast, you have to run fast. In order to be fast, you have to run fast." And I said, "Oh boy, here we go." And like I said, going through injuries, going through my own coaching myself, and kind of figuring it out. Used to be the stubborn runner. Used to be the one that wanted to, you know, run not tempo pace every day, but, you know, maybe every other day. Mm-hmm. Or instead of applying the 80-20 rule, it was kind of maybe reversed.
Right.
And I have actually been injured for the better part of the last 2 years because I kind of found my fast in the distance world. For me, what was fast, and kind of embraced it too much and went overboard, and I ended up hurt. And in that time away, it gave me, you know, obviously a chance to research and pull back and refocus. And I started studying like the Kenyans and how they train and what they do, and really kind of embraced and got interested and was really fascinated by how slow they run mm-hmm. when they're not doing their fartleks or their tempos or their intervals. And, you know, how much they back off and how much they'll just stop a workout if something's not feeling right. I think one of the most interesting things I read was that on their recovery days, they go, you know, 4 to 5 minutes slower than their 5K pace, mm-hmm. which for them is, you know, still 8 or 9 minutes. But comparably for all of us, that would be, you know, in the 10s or 11s.
Right.
Right. And I was like, wow, that's amazing. That's fascinating. They're Kenyans. How can you argue with Kenyans? Mm-hmm. Look at what they've done on the world scene. So I've really been applying that, and it, you know, it's hard to run 10, 11 minutes if you're even a, you know, 6-7 minute half marathoner. But, you know, I've been applying it the best I can, and I've been running the past 2 months now just based off on easy miles and maybe a tempo or interval run mm-hmm. here and there. And, you know, I'm almost right back where I was before I got injured, training less intense but smarter.
Mm.
So to circle back and answer your question, I think the importance of the slow recovery run is probably just as important as a you know, 8 mile tempo at your half marathon pace.
Right. Do you kind of mentioned the Kenyan style and I, you know, it is mind blowing to think that you know, these guys are slowing so far down compared to what they race at. And how much we as Americans, and maybe more kind of some other, you know, just Western kind of countries, if you want to kind of paint with an even broader brush. But do you think that the reason, or maybe one of the reasons that we struggle with that is kind of that, and maybe speaking a little bit more specifically here for Americans, but that idea of like hustle and work hard and go and go and go and go and go, that kind of, I mean, you know, was part of the founding kind of principles or ideas of our country. And then we bring that over into the running world, and it's like, all right, we got to go hard. We got to work hard. And then we break down. Like, do you see any correlation between that, or am I just out on my own?
No, I don't think you're on your own. I think there is a correlation with that. I think, you know, we're working more hours, we're doing more things. We're trying to go harder. We're trying to be better. We're trying to be faster. We're trying to be the best. And, you know, kind of fall into that rhythm of more is more and more is better. And like I said, it always kind of ends up kind of snapping us in the end there, right. Not for the better. And yeah, I agree with that.
How kind of shifting gears slightly, but you know, not too far, not too dramatically here. You mentioned with your marathons, the couple of them that you did that were maybe less than ideal would be a light way to say
complete
it.
Complete and utter failure to say it.
But how has that those two experiences of one of pushing through when maybe you shouldn't have, and the other one of not doing it, which may have been the right decision, but regardless, going through those two experiences and those training cycles, how has that helped you as a coach to when you're working with your runners that are running or training for a marathon or an ultra or anything where they're pushing themselves, even a shorter distance, but where they're really gunning for a really hard race? How has your experiences and your struggles kind of shaped your perspective and how you work with your athletes?
You actually just said the word. It's really given me perspective, on, you know, this actually goes back to my coaching days. So, you know, I would always tell a kid who was shooting for, you know, a certain goal or time, and there's always some two things. If someone doesn't kind of reach what they want, I would say one, you live to race another day. There's always going to be another race. It's never, ever, ever your last race. And two, your race today that you thought was subpar is someone else's dream race. Mm-hmm. And that usually kind of refocuses people's brain. They're still disappointed. They're still, you know, I could have done better, but it puts it in perspective of, you know what, you know, today wasn't my day. Maybe tomorrow will be. And let's move on. You know, you can't get the race back. You can't ever replicate what you just did because it's in the past. So you refocus and you know, start your new cycle and you adjust and you move on. And, you know, that next race could be a race. And and the third thing I've picked up now, adding to that to high school coaching days, was no race is the race, right? Especially when you're a non-competitive, non-elite runner, right? No race is the race. You know, you're never going to run in the Olympics. You're never going to, you know, be, you know, in the first corral with the elites necessarily, depending on who we're speaking to. But the people we're speaking about is that's true for them. And that there's actually beauty in that. There's less pressure, right?
Right.
So you train for 6 months and you take a lot of time out of your life. And of course you want to be Q, or of course you want to break, you know, 20 minutes on the 5K or whatever. But if you don't, the beauty of life is that you're going to get another chance. Mm-hmm. And it's very doable. So again, people usually kind of are able to pick themselves up and kind of refocus after I've hopefully gotten to their heads a little bit.
Talk a little sense into them when they're not thinking straight sometimes.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we touched a little bit on kind of, I think, one of the negative aspects of social media and the running community. I do think, and I hope this is a leading question and that we're again on the same page, which we've been so far, that there's lots of positive aspects of social media on the running community as well. Are you in agreement? And if so, what have you seen as social media continues to evolve and grow and become more and more and more of our daily life, and how it's positively impacted runners in the running community and the running culture?
Yeah, I mean, I'd be silly to say I'm not in agreement. We're talking right now because of social media,
exactly.
Right? I've been able to do great things. I've seen people do great things as far as, you know, charity work and helping others and just, you know, even leaving a comment from, you know, one person in one state to another, you know, great job, or pick yourself up, and you know, just the support that people are able to receive from one another is just kind of mind blowing. It's amazing. It's kind of like no other. You know, it's crazy to see this running community is so bonded through pictures and stories, and you know, everyone has a chance to kind of get to know each other, I guess, quote unquote, in a more intimate way. Through social media and, you know, kind of follow each other's lives and kind of be a part of it in a way. And, you know, I've met some of my best friends over social media. You know, we had a party in Pennsylvania last year for my birthday. And, you know, now I call those people my brothers and sisters. And, you know, we have a pact that we're going to try and meet together once every year and do something. And shout out to those guys.
Yeah, it's awesome when I know I've had the chance a few times where, you know, whether it's people that I've connected with on the podcast and had a chance to chat with them and get a chance to then meet with them and run in, you know, run in person or race, you know, we end up being at the same race together and you're able to break bread or you know, share a finish line photo or things like that. It's a cool way to make the big world seem just a little bit smaller, a little bit more intimate, a little bit more friendly than it does sometimes on its own.
Yeah, it's been fun. I remember when the whole Runner Marks Instagram page first started, you know, you kind of got caught up in you know, people recognizing you, and then that only lasts for a little while. But I can remember me and my buddies were on a run, and I was going one way, and this group of runners was going the other way, and I don't know if it wasn't that I didn't recognize them or I was kind of just zoning out, but I remember one young lady passed me and kind of shouted in my face, "Runner marks!" And startled the hell out of me, and I kind of felt embarrassed, but, you know, luckily my buddies were like, "Oh, that was cool." But, you know, like you said, you kind of get into it, but then you kind of realize that it, especially if you do have a healthy presence on social media, then you can actually use it for kind of doing something good with it, kind of trying to help people or raising money for charity or whatever your bag is, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's another thing that I enjoy about it.
And it's a beautiful segue into Run Always. Tell us a little bit about this little movement that you've got going on and what the reasoning is behind it.
Right. So like I said, you know, I started the whole Runner Marks thing and I put my face on a t-shirt and started selling it kind of as a joke and it kind of took off a little bit. And, you know, after a while you kind of get embarrassed or it kind of gets awkward to see your face on a t-shirt.
Yeah, but you've got that beautiful, beautiful beard. So don't.
Totally. Yeah, absolutely. I'm over it. But it kind of led me to think that, like, okay, you know, this is cool, whatever. I got my face on a shirt. It's all for charity. I've never made a cent on it. But maybe there's something more to it here. Maybe Runner Marks isn't supposed to be the focus here. And, you know, I started maybe 2.5 or so years ago using the hashtag Run Always. Never really put it out there, but I said maybe there's something to that phrase, right? Mm. And so I put it on a shirt. I think our first post was I did a really, really good Photoshop job of putting a Run Always t-shirt on Sir Paul McCartney.
Nice.
And I actually fooled a few people with it, thinking that I actually knew him. Unfortunately, I don't. And it kind of took off from there. And the first batch, we sold, I think, close to 200 shirts and made over $2,000 for the charity that we support, which is Kaboom. And, you know, beyond that, I had the idea after I met my running family in Pennsylvania to introduce and start an Instagram page. And, you know, there's a good handful of Instagram pages that kind of repost pictures mm-hmm. and, you know, post inspirational quotes. And I love and respect those pages and I follow them to this day. But I kind of realized like there's no, you know, on blogs there is, but on Instagram, not that I know of, there's no kind of outlet for runners to tell their stories mm-hmm. and kind of submit why running is important to them and how it's impacted them. So I said, okay, well, we're going to put it out there and see if it takes off. And we're going to ask for people to submit their running stories. And we're going to publish them and along with, you know, a picture of them and kind of see what happens. And so far, so good, you know, with very little, I guess, marketing or mm-hmm. however you want to put it. Like it's got a healthy presence. It's been around for 7 months now. And we continue to get stories. Some of the stories have been really great. All of them have been great, but some of them have been really kind of impactful and kind of got you right there in the heart. But I think people appreciate having that outlet to tell their stories. I think especially the ones that maybe don't have as many followers or mm-hmm. kind of are new to the social media thing when they've discovered us. It's been kind of cool for them to see like, oh, they have a similar story to me. They've gone through the same things. They've experienced the same ups and downs. And so being able to connect people that way and having people relate to each other, it has been really awesome.
Yeah, that's definitely something that I try to do with the show is to just share those stories. And it's as you were talking about that there towards the end, all I could think of is like, you know, we always say, you know, the proverbial we, that, you know, every runner is different, every runner is unique. And I certainly believe that 100%. But to a certain level, we're also all the same. You know, we also have kind of a lot of the same struggles and the same fears and the same, you know, am I fast enough? Am I worthy enough? Or am I capable? And you start hearing some of those stories from people that maybe you look up to, and you think that they're so much faster, better, more experienced, whatever, than you are. And you realize that yes, we're all different, but by gosh, we're all pretty much the same too. And it's a cool kind of dichotomy, I guess, of two sides of the same coin.
Yeah. I think it even expand on that. Like, am I fast enough? Am I good enough? And just like some of the stories I've gotten, they've come from, you know, I was abused as a child, and I went through all these, you know, without getting too somber in this mm-hmm. early in the morning. You know, it's like I said, it's been eye opening, and there's been some great submissions, and I hope we can continue to get the stories and kind of put it out there. I think our ultimate goal would to maybe do like a book of the stories and get that published. Hopefully somewhere down the line, but there's talk of that, and hopefully that there would be some interest in that, because you know everyone's got something to say, you know.
Yeah, definitely. That would be really cool. You mentioned the charity Kaboom. Is that something that you guys still support? Is that kind of still the main thing? And what does that charity do?
So Kaboom is a nonprofit that they build playgrounds in mostly low income areas. Mm-hmm. So they'll go out and they'll find a space, and they'll they'll break ground, and they'll put up a playground and athletic fields for the youth. And I've searched high and low, and there's obviously some wonderful charities out there, but I don't know, that one kind of speaks to my heart. And kind of growing up with around the track and field, and never really, you know, going to private school, never really having to, like I said, I was the last of six kids. Mm-hmm. I was pretty spoiled as a little guy, so I never really had to, I wasn't too needy. But you know, luckily I didn't, you know, grow up to be the spoiled brat. I grew up to wanting to help people. So I thought that was a great idea, a great way to kind of give back. I don't need the money from the shirts, right? Mm-hmm. So it all goes back into Kaboom. I really appreciate what they're doing. We've had some correspondence. They know about us. They know what we're doing, and obviously they appreciate it. And I think it's been great to be able to help with their cause.
For people that maybe want to check out a shirt and support the cause, I'll obviously have links in the show notes. But for people that are maybe on the go and just want to hear a link, can you give a link real quick?
For our store, our storefront is run-always.com/run-culture.
Okay.
I don't think I've ever said that out loud. It's kind of tongue twisting.
It is, but like I said, I'll make sure to have links, and that way if somebody, like I said, when, you know, people listen to us on the run, they don't necessarily have something to write down, but at least that way it's in their mind a little bit, and then they can come back and find it again. Guys, disruns.com/326 for the show notes for this, so if you want those links, you can definitely check those out. So Mark, as we're kind of getting a little bit done on the towards the end, we still got a few minutes left, but as we're getting close to wrapping things up, if you could look into the crystal ball, and this is always a dangerous question, so I never know where the predict your future type of question is going to lead, but I mean, you've been in and around the running scene for 30 years, kind of, I don't want to say done it all, but you've done a lot, certainly. Any guesses, any prognostications on what the next chapter of your running life might look like?
Yeah, I think for me personally, kind of into my 40s now, and I think, obviously just stay healthy. We touched on that, and you know, train like a Kenyan as best as possible, and maybe not race like a Kenyan, but, you know, keep improving as much as I can and keep loving it, keep enjoying it on a personal level, but also obviously keep coaching, keep helping people with their running and offering up any advice. As far as the philanthropy with Run Always, I think I would really like to see that grow, and not because I want to, you know, be able to live off of it. I have a fine job that I really love, but because I think that it's important to get something like that out there. And, you know, I'd love to go to race expos and, you know, sell the shirts and tell people about the charity and collect stories that way. And if that book ever comes to fruition, be able to, you know, pass it out or, you know, take donations for it. And I would really, really like to see that grow and maybe partner with some, apparel companies to where they're putting out, you know, our apparel that way. Mm-hmm. So there's some ideas swishing around. One of the one of the jokes that we have is that we're going to do a run always calendar, do a kind of a sexy runner calendar for the Instagram community. But it's a joke, but hey, you never know. Maybe
never know.
Be some, you never know.
No, that'd be awesome. I'll
reserve December for you, Dave.
There we go. I'd be absolutely glad to do it.
It's nice.
And you're wise to tuck it at the back of the calendar. That way people don't, you know, it's not the first page they flip to and see.
Save the best for last.
So as we're kind of getting to that point of wrapping things up, my last question for you today, I've got kind of a handful of questions that I kind of call a philosophical type of questions. So obviously wide open, obviously no right or wrong answer. Sometimes the answer is short and sweet. Sometimes the answer drags on for another 5 or 10 minutes. And in either case, it's perfectly acceptable. But I'd just be curious, for somebody like you who has been, you know, running for more of your life than you haven't been, unlike a lot of us who maybe find running a little bit later into our, you know, adulthood at some point. What does, when you think of yourself as being a runner, or when you identify as someone who runs, what does that kind of mean to you? Or what, you know, what does that mean to say that I'm a runner from your point of view?
I think for me, it means, Not to be political, but you know that we're part of something. We're part of the 1%, you know, so to speak, right? Mm-hmm. That I'm part of something that's bigger than me, but also something that I can do within myself, you know, by myself, or I can go out and run with a group, and you know, be part of something with someone. Again, not to be too cheesy, but it kind of completes me, right? It completes us. It, we go out there because we want to challenge ourselves. We want to better ourselves. You know, it's just an overall package. It means, I guess it means I'm part of something.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy it.
That's perfect. That's a perfect way to wrap things up. And guys, if you want to be part of Mark's community as well, at Runner Marks on the Instagram, probably the best place. You can also find him on Twitter and Facebook. We'll have all those links again in the show notes, disruns.com/326. So Mark, thanks for getting up early. For those that aren't aware, you're out on the West Coast, I'm on the East Coast, and this is morning time here still for me. So you got up early this morning, but thanks for taking the time out of your schedule today. Thanks for joining us, and obviously all the best for you for your running and what the future holds for that, and also for Run Always and for the difference you're making. And if there's ever anything that I can do or we can do here, please let me know. We're happy to spread the word and do whatever we can to help out. So thanks for your time today and all the best going forward.
Diz, you are the man. I really appreciate this. It's been great talking and being able to kind of nerd out with a fellow runner finally and not bug my wife about it. So thank you very much. She appreciates it.
Alrighty. All right, guys. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Mark and myself. And as always, I'd love to know kind of what stood out to you. What was your take on today's episode of the show? What was that big thing for you? For me, the kind of the standout or the takeaway for this episode of the show is just kind of the reminder. Or you know, kind of one of those things that maybe you don't always think about. You kind of have in the back of your mind, but you don't always necessarily think about the fact that our running lives, our running careers, our running, you know, the time in our lives that we are runners, it's going to change and evolve and morph over time. You know, whatever phase that you're in as a runner right now, enjoy it, live it up, have a blast. But if 5 years from now, 8 years from now, 5 months from now, I mean, whatever the situation might be, if you find yourself in a different kind of category of a runner or a different phase of runner or doing something different, that's okay. In fact, that's normal. You know, talking to Mark, I mean, you know, going from being a sprinter to be running longer distances to coaching high school kids to coaching adults to starting kind of a movement online and sharing stories. I mean, just all the ways that his life over the past, you know, 20 plus almost 30 years of being in and around running, just all the changes and the twists and like the, who would have thought that in 1995 that he'd be where he is now, you know? And I think that sometimes we forget about that. We get caught up in, at least I know I do. I mean, maybe y'all don't, but I do, where it's like, all right, you know, I want to do this. I want to run this marathon. I want to qualify here. I want to blah, 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 blah. And it's all with where I am at this point in my life, but I'm projecting that out 5 years from now, 10 years from now down the road. And sometimes maybe it's important to kind of take a step back and, you know, maybe make some of those plans and have, and keep those thoughts and dreams and goals in mind, but to also realize that, that things are probably going to change and who knows where we will be 3 years, 4 years, 5 years down the road. And as long as we're still doing something we love, and if we, you know, are still loving running and can be around the running scene, you know, even though the outlet or the exact events that we run in or we are running may change, it doesn't mean that we don't love running any less, that we're not any less of a runner or anything like that. So just kind of a philosophical thought, I guess, or a philosophical takeaway for me. But that's the big thing that to me kind of stood out from this episode. So as always, I'd love to know what it was for you. What stood out to you from this episode? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRuns. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. Or better yet, head to the show notes for this episode, which you can find at DizRuns.com/326. And leave a comment and just let me know. Let me know what you thought of this episode. And also, don't forget, if you're kind of in a bind, stuck somewhere, and you need kind of a little coaching help in a one-off type of setting, DizRuns.com/consultation, and we'll get that set up and scheduled, and look forward to helping you get past whatever obstacle is in your way at the present. So with that, let's go ahead and put a bow on this thing, wrap this thing up. Thanks for joining us today. Thanks for hanging out. Thanks for taking me with you. Whatever it is you're doing, whether you're running, whether you're running errands, whether you're working around the house, or whether you're just relaxing and enjoying a fall day. Thanks for taking me with you and joining us today on this run. So with that, thanks, guys. We'll look forward to talking to you guys again in the not-too-distant future. But until then, take care.